number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Monday. We continue now with our favorite forever Titans wide receiver, Chris Sanders.
Oh,
Chris,
man.
I got a mission for you.
Yes, sir.
Because nobody's going to tell you no and yell at you because you're just such a great guy.
I know. Yeah, they will.
Can you show up at the Titans facility and just say, I'm praying for y'all to figure this out because you're trading Roger McCreary for a fifth round pick.
I don't know what's going on, Big Chase. I mean, I just went and looked at the depth chart. You're talking about when you go nickel personnel, you're going to Samuel Womack III. I mean,
exactly.
I mean, who the heck is that? That's somebody playing golf. I mean, I'm being facetious, but I'm being facetious. But the thing about it is, this is what I don't want to happen: is if you start throwing up the white flag. I mean, if you start throwing the white flag, you're not going to have anybody in that stadium. You're trading away one of your guys that just got a sack last week, and you're trading him away. I understand it. You know, he hasn't been the big player that you want, but he's still a guy that's kind of occasionally making some plays. And then you look at the defense; they don't have any depth. After Jeffrey Simmons, you got C.J. Ravenel. Who?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I have no idea. It sounds like a guy that played in Rocky. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. I don't know. Just don't know.
I I'm at the point, and I don't know how you feel about it, that I would trade off some assets because draft capital and this season's done. So, but I don't understand not shopping Jeffrey Simmons because that's the guy that's going to get you the most.
I mean, you have to. I mean, he's the one that's a bright spot. He's playing good. I know he got hurt, you know, last week, but he's one of those guys you can shop around and really get some capital of getting some picks in here and getting some impact players. But, man, we say that, but then all of a sudden we look at the game last week and there was no pressure on the quarterback whatsoever. I know they had a couple of sacks here and there, but they was getting no pressure on Daniel Jones. He was sitting back there all day making plays.
All right, Chris, here we go, brother.
Let's go.
Get it, brother. Go.
I'm the type of guy. See, I don't have the voice, though.
It's all right.
I don't know this one.
You don't remember that? That's LL Cool J, man.
That's right.
That's a really young
guy. That came out in 1991, I think, when I had hair. So, yeah, absolutely.
Does LL sound for like Large Ladies Love Cool James or what's the LL? Something like that.
I don't know, man. It's just some crazy name.
Something
but
like
actually,
that.
A funny thing, I actually saw him in concert when I was with the Cleveland Browns for like a half a minute, and they did a concert, and that dude was swole, man. He looked like he could play linebacker.
All right, he'll knock you down there.
He will knock you down because he's that type of guy.
Right. Let me ask you this. And I hope and you're always honest with us. Have you ever been told not to speak negatively about the franchise? Has anybody ever told you that?
You know, I just think that it
I'm not saying you do, but I'm just asking, has anybody ever told you not to?
No, they haven't, but I it's hard to do because even though there's some bad – some difficult things that are going on with the Tennessee Titans, yes, I'm going to tell the truth. Yes, I'm going to say what I need to say, but I just don't have the heart to do that. But at times you got to really speak the truth. I'm going to speak the truth, but as in putting down, you know, the organization, I can't do it. But I'm still going to tell them what they need to improve. I mean, look at last week – you know, when Eddie George came out and talked about that the franchise is going to be put about decades. That's the truth. He said it in a great way, but he didn't put it down as he was demeaning, you know, Amy Adams Shrunk. He was just saying, this is what needs to improve. This is what we need to do. He told the truth, but he never degraded it. That's the difference between doing that.
That's a good point. Now, some of your teammates from your times with the Titans, and I get it. I mean, they get on the air and it's like all is good and they're just they're one or two pieces away. And I laugh because I'm thinking somebody's told them and like maybe not so many words like, hey, don't put us down. Be nice. But you got to be honest. I mean, what you saw yesterday, Chris, was awful. And that's not demeaning to the franchise.
Exactly.
It was just awful, right?
Yeah, it really, really was. Again, can I give you an example of what I'm talking about? Like, my wife is going to shoot me straight because she knows it's going to help me. Like, this is funny, but I'm being careful when I say this. But we were talking one day, and she looked at me. She's like, baby, you need a mint. So, you know, and I'm like, dang, maybe I need it. But see, here's the deal. What she said wasn't demeaning me. She was saying something that was helping me to when I talk to the next person, it's going to help them. That's the same thing with the Tennessee Titans. You need to be better on – you need to maybe go for it on fourth down or you need to quit being predictable on first down. That's not saying nothing demeaning. It's saying something that's going to help the franchise. So I just think that, you know, it's not that you don't want to just start bashing and start bashing players and just bashing the organization and bashing, you know, all these people. Just say what's true and then go on. That's how I would kind of handle it.
I like it. And look, you know, every franchise at some point has a good season down the road. I mean, the Lions were terrible. They turned it around.
Right.
The Browns had their moments here. And the Titans, eventually one day, will get back to that. But the positive part of this is what Jim DK and Io Manor are going through right now. I mean, I can't wait to see them 2 years from now because these guys are good. They're going to get better. They're going through hell right now, but they're going to get better.
I mean, it is going to get better because when I was in 1995, I was in the same situation they were. I was having a pretty good season, but our team was struggling a little bit. Now you got DK, you got Gunnar Helm, you got Alec. I can't pronounce his last name. Io Manor. But then you have those young guys that are showing that they can play at this level, and then you start adding pieces like we did in 1999, Javon Curse, Samari Rowe, but you still have your base of players that still makes your team good. So I just think that with these young guys that are playing at a high level right now, you start adding pieces, you start adding these things, you start adding, you know, good coaches, and all of a sudden you go from a worst season to one of your best seasons.
Chris Sanders is with us. I feel like Cam Ward is smart enough to – recognize good from bad when it comes to plays. But with the situation he's in right now, there's going to be more bad than there is good.
Yeah.
So does that worry you for the next coaching staff that he's going to pick up some bad habits this year that they're going to have to correct?
They're going to have to correct it. But see, here's what you do is if I come in as a new coach and I'm his new offensive coordinator or whatever, or new quarterback coach, I will sit him down and I will give him a blank piece of paper and say, okay, what are the things that you need to prove on? What are the things you did wrong and what are the things you did well? And then I'll throw it in the trash and say, let's just start over, you know, completely. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but let's start to build your own identity. Let's fix what you did wrong. Let's continue what you did well. So those are the things that you can build on what he did, you know, last year. But I don't want to come in here and just change everything up, but I'm going to fix what's wrong and make him better and be a productive quarterback in this league.
Well, they need to do something.
I know I'm trying to show the positive. But just look at him. I mean, first of all, you got to start with your offensive line. Your offensive line is – I mean, we got a situation to where you got to understand where the pressure is coming from. If the pressure is coming off the slot, as an offensive line guy, I got to point it out. Nobody pointed the defensive back out on the slot, and he gets sacked. So it's not just Cam. It's the offensive line pointing out the pressure and saying, okay, this is coming. You got to be aware of it. Nobody did that, and he gets sacked. So, it's the quarterback, and it's the offensive line.
Well, you want to watch a beautiful offensive line play, they should have just looked across the sideline.
My gosh.
The Colts offensive line, all draft picks, that's what you need to win in football, and those guys are good.
They're nasty. I mean, when I say they're nasty, and it started with Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson is a dog. Yep. I mean, when you have him, who's a pillar of your offense, he's going to make everybody around her. I watched him. You know that play that Taylor, I think it was the 80-yard run.
Yeah.
I think it was outside zone.
It was.
Look at those offensive linemen not just running to a guy. They're running to a spot because when you run outside zone, you're running to a specific gap. They were running, and anybody that stepped in that gap, they're punching you square in the face.
Right.
And it was just unbelievable because those guys played together. Those guys are in sync, and they understand how to win, not just as a team, but as an individual group.
Well, yeah, not to get buried in the X's and O's, but when you got a center and a backside guard getting to the second level to block your secondary, I mean, come on.
Yes. They're getting when they get into the secondary and he doesn't get touched until he gets to the secondary, that means they're just mauling people. But here's what I love about their offensive line. They will knock you down, hit you in the mouth, and pick you up and say, "Hey, I'll get you on the next play." I mean, they're nice guys, but they're going to punish you when they run the inside zone and outside zone. Man, just a phenomenal, phenomenal group.
Well, the saying, it's always darkest before dawn, which means it's going to get bad before it gets good.
How much
worse can this get, Chris? Can it get worse?
It is worse, and it breaks my heart. But here's the thing. I always learn in life that it's just like going to a movie theater. Even though it gets dark, you get a preview of the good things that are about to come. And the good thing, the good previews that we're seeing DK, we're seeing Ellick, we're seeing Gunnar Helm, a preview for things to come. And I'm going to share this story, and I'll leave it alone. I remember in 1992, I had the worst season in football. I got hurt, and I had to sit out another year. So I went out for track that year, and I really didn't want to go, just kind of depressed, and just kind of, I don't want to do this anymore. And that same year, in my darkest time, I broke Jesse Owens' long jump record at The Ohio State University. So what I'm saying is, even though it's dark for the Tennessee Titans, even though it feels like it's a dark moment, if you still press through, if you still trust, you know, the people around you, there's going to be a silver lining on the other side. So that's what I would tell these teams, that even though it's dark,
right,
great things can happen right around the corner.
Dr. Crane and I were talking about this on the pregame show yesterday. If you're a young guy right now in the league, you want to be with the Titans. And I say that because You got opportunities. Right? I mean, if you're with the Lions, you maybe got one guy getting an opportunity. But you got a chance, opportunity here now to turn into something. So, yes, it's bad. Yes, it's awful. But a lot of these guys are getting opportunity, and you never know what could happen.
That's a great point, because you're still not just auditioning for the Tennessee Titans. You're auditioning for some other teams. So a lot of these young guys that are playing right now, some of them don't have a lot of tape. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but that's just the nature of the beast, the nature of the league, that if you don't have no film, nobody's going to know who you are. So with these young guys that are coming to the team, these young guys that are playing, they're getting experience and they're getting a feel of the NFL. So now if they stay here or they go to another team, then now they understand how to run business. They know how to conduct their meetings. They know how to play on game day. So even though they're not winning, they're getting game experience. And I think that's good for these young guys.
Chris, appreciate you, my friend, as always.
Appreciate you, brother.
And we will talk to you Friday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Love y'all, man.
Yep, you too. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, and always appreciate him. Coming up next, we're going to shift gears into some college football, because obviously Vanderbilt had a big win over the weekend, and another coach in the SEC is sitting at home collecting $50-plus million. Ugh. We will discuss that. And his family coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Coaching on their 10,000-foot question, with Brian Kelly being fired, guy won more than 70% of his games. It seems like the expectations in the new college landscape has led to more midseason firings. What do you make of the state of the game, and is there any sort of danger here?
I don't know. I mean, it's the world we live in. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody listens to somebody. A lot of I don't know enough about that situation, to be honest with you, that specific situation. I think you're asking a general view, but, you know, I don't know enough about what's going on over there. Got enough things to worry about in our own house, and that's what I focus on. It's obviously a tough situation on everybody. I mean, let's be honest. It's the players dealing with it, fans dealing with it, coaches dealing with it at this time in the middle of a season. You know, I think there's so much built around the playoffs, and it's like everything's boom or bust, and you can't have a normal season. People got to make decisions earlier based on how somebody does, and I don't know enough about it. I know it's high expectations. I coached at LSU, and guy once told me, he said, that office you're in, that's not your office. You're borrowing it. And I knew right then that if you didn't win, you wouldn't be there long.
That was Kirby Smart, I guess, earlier today, asked about Brian Kelly. But I love that line of, that's not your office. You're borrowing it.
He ain't wrong.
Nope.
I mean, he ain't wrong. And that's the thing is, like, look, people are passionate about their programs. But when these guys are getting fired with Franklin and Jimbo, Napier, and now Brian Kelly making 30, 40, 50 million, I mean, it's put to this a whole new light. But at the end of the day, it's about winning games. I know 70%, I get that. But he's not winning the games he's supposed to.
Yeah, they're not a playoff contender.
That's it.
And that's what people want. And that's the expectation at a place like LSU.
And newsflash, all these colleges got money to pay off.
Sure.
These coaches.
So, they got everybody has the guy that can literally stroke the check and don't even think twice about it.
Like our buddy Greg Polk says. I mean, like Vanderbilt's got selective poverty.
They did. I don't know if they do as much anymore.
They've all got money to pay people off. And winning and football is the front porch to your university. I don't care how much you say it, but it's the front porch.
I the coaching carousel in college football is always fascinating. Last year, I don't think I paid as much attention to it because, like, nobody got fired in the SEC. None of the major Big Ten jobs were really open.
Right.
Now, you got some big jobs that are open, and I still think some to follow. Because let's just start with the SEC. LSU is now open. Arkansas, Florida. I think Kentucky's going to be open. Mm-hmm. I really don't see him lasting there. I think South Carolina might be open. And that could be more of a stay one step ahead of the jailer and just run home before you lose your job.
That was a tough loss for them Saturday.
They had an opportunity to win.
Yep.
I think Auburn will be open. I think Hugh is hanging on by a threat. Fred?
By a threat. Yeah. Can they keep paying these coaches at all? And this is ridiculous. But I think all those don't add up to what LSU's paying Brian Kelly.
Correct. It's like $53 million.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask a serious question. Where do you find the next group?
Yeah. That's a great question. Because right now you're still just going to do retreads.
Yeah. I mean, Sumrall at Tulane's a hell of a coach.
He's going to get one of these jobs.
So, I mean, but is he ready for LSU? Is he ready? I mean, I know coaches that know him and think he's beyond ready for LSU and the big-time job. So, put him out of there. But who's next? I mean, if Kiffin goes to Florida, who takes Ole Miss? James Franklin ain't going there.
Nope.
No? What is Jimbo's? Jimbo get back into it? Mike Norvell gets fired? There's another job.
I think if Mike Norvell gets fired in Florida State, Jimbo going back there is not the craziest thing that could happen.
You know who we're not talking?
I would not be shocked. And I would like to say something real quick about this. And I'm mad at myself. And I'm a little mad at you for letting me do it. At SEC Media Days, like the first I barely saw it.
That's all right.
At SEC Media Days, like the first day, I said, look, if this season goes bad, Brian Kelly won't be the coach at LSU next year. And then I kind of walked it back because after talking to people, I was like, well, maybe not this year, but next year.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd just stuck to that because I would sound so smart today.
It's all right.
You know, but that's okay. But
now you outed yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Which is illegal in 7 states.
Yeah, it is.
You've done that. You know an X factor I think in this is? And I think he's reached the ceiling. And I know they're building up around him and the stadium, but Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri.
That was going to be the next tier. The next tier is Ole Miss, Missouri, Vanderbilt could all be open because they take the jump. Now, Clark's an interesting one. I think Clark loves it here. I think, you know, this is home. He went there. He wants to continue to see this. But being realistic and being, you know, looking at things for you, can you sustain this? And is your stock ever going to be this high? Is a Vanderbilt coach's stock? Because, like, I would say his stock is higher now than it was when Franklin left for Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are going to be schools now, and have you ever heard this phrase before, that – well, we need to call Clark Lee and make him tell us no. And that like, LSU should call him.
Right.
Florida should call him. Penn State should call him. You know, those are the biggest jobs. And look, there will be others. But, you know, think about the domino effect. Marcus Freeman's probably going to get some calls, you know, to leave Notre Dame. If Notre Dame opens up, is that a job that Clark would look at and go, well, I really liked it there?
If 21, 22, and 23 was really bad for Vanderbilt and right. Clark was the head coach, you get Pavia, you strike gold.
Yeah.
If that administration's going to back you and you can get another 6-7 year deal, then don't go.
Right.
But
I agree.
But if they're not going to back you and give you what you need to compete, go. Go to Florida, go to LSU, go. Nobody's going to begrudge you if you go. There'll be a few people. How dare you? That's fine.
No.
You ain't my family.
I wouldn't. I mean, it's kind of like. When Franklin left for Penn State,
nobody faulted him,
and like the cupboard. I mean, he had gotten that thing to where he was going to get it.
Yep, that's right.
and all that stuff. I think where he got fault was the stuff that had happened that he all of a sudden, like, oh, see ya, you know, the case.
So all those jobs that are open, what's the one Chase McCabe would take?
That is a great question. They all have their different types of pressure and stuff like that. I think LSU.
My man.
I think LSU.
And why is that?
Because I do believe you can go there and you can win. And if Ed Orgeron and Les Miles can win a national championship there, and I'll even put Saban in this conversation, because when he won a national championship there, he wasn't daddy yet. Like, nope. And so it was all about, hey, you got the right support, you built the right team, you got hot at the right time,
right,
and you won a national championship. Now, the team that Orgeron had might be the best team that college football has ever seen.
You're right.
But I would say there is probably, because, like, Florida, like, here's what hit me when I was reading through stuff last night. In the playoff era, Florida's never made the playoff. They've never even sniffed it.
Wait.
They haven't even gotten close.
So we're going back to 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And the last time in the BCS that they were near anything was with Urban.
That's right.
So, like, that to me, they're not one of the top-tier jobs like they used to be. They think they are.
Yep.
But they're not.
So I like your answer. If you had gave me the choice of what school I would take, here's my walk-up song.
That.
LSU all day, yep, all night. Have you ever been to a game on a Saturday night in Baton Rouge?
No, I'm telling you, list.
It's almost like a religion. Neyland's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Baton Rouge is up there. I mean, it's a religious experience. Have you been, Dr. Crane?
I have. It's better than Neyland Stadium.
Not by much,
but if I had to go a scale of 1 to 10, it goes LSU at 8, Tennessee at 10, if we're going off hard numbers.
Okay. All right. But I'm with you, man. LSU. Look, I think Florida's great. The talent in Florida is unbelievable. But something about LSU, something about those people down there is beautiful and wonderful all day long.
All right. We're going to take Kenny's call, and then I got another one that I'm going to throw at you that I would pay attention to. Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, what's up?
Hello, good friends. Chase, I loved your interview on the radio Saturday. That was fun to listen to.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Greg Pogue had me. That was a lot of fun.
Listen, I wouldn't interrupt your SEC talk, but I actually know what Amy wrote down. I was looking over her shoulder, and I'd love to share it with y'all.
All right.
Chad, hire Trey from the radio for the department. I like him.
Thank you.
No, let me help y'all out. Y'all were way too nice. I give all callers respect, and I listen. I thought Trey, you know, was watching something in Cam's footwork or the way he was holding his hand. Until yesterday, he couldn't tell Cam Ward apart from Mason Kinsey. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard on the radio, him critiquing everything about Cam Ward and then admitted, well, I've never seen the guy. Come on now, unless you're Stevie Wonder. I'm not cutting the slack on that. But he has been hired in the scouting department by Miss Amy. Hey, y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you, Kenny.
Appreciate it. There was a report that came out over the weekend that I think a lot of people laughed at, but I would pay attention to it. And that could open up another major job in college football if it turns out to be true. I'll tell you what I mean next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday. I don't remember what I was saying. I lost my train of thought right there.
What song is that?
Yeah, I was trying to fit that kind of
thing. Houston is Hot Tonight by Iggy Pop.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of it?
No, I haven't. Right. But that's okay. That's fine.
We're trying new things.
Yeah,
we're expanding our mind here.
Trust me, it's not one of my favorites. All right.
So there was a report over the weekend. Diana Russini put out there that Steve Sarkisian, his agent, has put out there to NFL teams that he would be interested in an NFL job, including the Tennessee Titans. My initial response to that was, damn, Jimmy Sexton's good at his job, because right. that's his agent, and mm-hmm. Jimmy Sexton is probably put the Saban stuff out there.
Of course,
like,
he has.
You know, he knows how to play this game because he represents like half these guys. Didn't he have Franklin?
I don't know.
I think he did.
I think he's got 13 of 16 SEC coaches
yeah.
at the start of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I wouldn't completely dismiss it, though. I don't think the Titans are going to hire Steve Sarkisian, but he's the one in college football that I think could be the next to try and make the jump, which would then leave Texas open, which would be very interesting.
All right. If I'm a Texas player right now, I go to him and say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, and supposedly he addressed it, like he had to address it and said that, well, it's false and everything. I mean, okay.
Pull
honk,
my arm.
Honk if you've heard this before. Did you guys know that Nick Saban wasn't leaving the Miami Dolphins to take the Alabama job?
He was not?
Yeah, so.
I mean. Have you ever seen that video of the NFL films where he did it and the Miami play-by-play guy or somebody in Miami? It's like, I'm going to find him and beat him.
Yeah.
And he was like very animated about, I'm going to confront him and beat him. I was like, man, it's just a job. Just let him go. If you don't want to be there, let him go and do that. But look, why? Why the NFL? I don't get it. He's not doing well at Texas.
Again, I think it's just ego thing. And again, I think some of it is Jimmy Sexton doing his job. But, you know, he might look at, okay, well, we're having a down year at Texas. Am I stuck with Arch Manning? Could I just get out and go and see what I do in the NFL?
I
wouldn't, but, you know, again.
Right. I mean, you're having a bad year. And what if Vanderbilt comes down on Saturday and punches you in the face?
Right.
Then you're coming to the Music City Bowl in late December, which is fine. Texas, I'd love to see Texas here in town. It'd be great. But I just don't – what has he done?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's in the same boat. And, like, the thing with LSU and Florida is, again, and I know what you're going to say, and I don't disagree with you, they're going to make Lane Kiffin tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lane's going to be the first choice.
Yep.
And I think, personally, Lane could stay in Oxford for 20 years.
Easily.
And be fine.
Easily.
But, you know, with him – with that quote that kind of came out over the weekend of him talking to his players about it and like, hey, this is what happens when you win and stuff like that. It kind of made me think, oh, he might actually be considering this. And now that LSU's open, I mean, now he'd become the most hated man in Oxford, Mississippi if he did that.
So when you go to LSU, you're following in Orgeron, Saban, Les Miles, you get a Florida, Spurrier. I mean, Spurrier still holds
Urban.
A big stick down there in Gainesville. At Oxford, Billy Brewer was a great coach. And what was it? Vault Hemingway Stadium, coach. But that's
it.
Years ago, you could be that. And he already is that guy in Ole Miss.
He could luck around and get that roster good enough that he could win a national championship.
So the narrative, you know, I've banged on him because he's never won anything.
Yeah.
So now the narrative is he's getting Ole Miss to double-digit wins. That never happened. Double-digit wins. I'm like, he still hasn't won anything.
Well, okay. So let's make this local for a second. If Clark Lee got Vanderbilt to double-digit wins every year and sniffed the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
He's here for life. Yeah. There's no question.
It's his home.
Right. But I mean, like, that I'm not saying that the fan base wouldn't want to win a national championship. Of course we would as fans.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the mix and in the discussion every year, that means you're getting good players.
Yeah.
That means that
right.
you know you're continuing to build on this. And maybe you luck up and win one. But maybe you don't. You would sign up for it every year.
Absolutely you would.
But the same goes for Ole Miss.
I mean, Clark is establishing.
There are different expectations for different jobs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Clark is establishing legendary status here. You beat the number one team last year. You go to bowl game, you win. You get now you're the highest ranking and since 1947, whatever. I get that. But I'm telling you, chasing the almighty dollar, it's not – if you're making $42,000 a year and a job offers you $6.5 million, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right? If you're making $7 million, you're going to go make $8 million and the pressure increases, no. I'm past that. Clark is – but again, Clark Lee, he's got to be in the conversation. I'd go talk to him. What are you doing over there?
You're
I know
calling.
You got a quarterback. I know things are going on, but you still got to put a good team on the football field. And what did Will Muschamp tell us? That leadership on that team, the veteran leadership, works well under Clark Lee, and they've bought into what he's doing. Not many veterans buy into that stuff because they're like at the end of their career, they get their degree, maybe get some NIL money. And Muschamp was telling us, look, they've bought into what he's doing over there. And that game on Saturday, that was a physical football game versus Missouri, and they won the game. So, yeah, you got to ask him and see what he could do. But at the same time, I mean, Kiffin is sitting in the fabled catbird seat right now. Wherever he goes, he's going to be fine. But he's built something at Ole Miss. You know, I'm not a big fan of him, but he's built something at Ole Miss.
So here's what I think is going to happen. This is I'm going to go ahead and just make some predictions. I think Brian Kelly – again, has the BS enough. I could see Penn State hiring him. He fits more in the Big Ten, Notre Dame. Like, that just fits him. I never thought he was a fit in the SEC.
Well, you hire him, you're immediately back on the map.
Yeah.
With a recognizable coach who's been through the fire, and I get that. And he had success at Notre Dame. Yeah, I don't see why not.
Now, if he doesn't, if they don't hire him, like let's say they go Matt Rhule, which, again, I think could be a possibility, UCLA should throw whatever they have at Brian Kelly.
You think?
Again, it's the Big Ten now. But he could play that out there and then parlay that in. This is he's one of those guys that whether he deserves it or not, he's going to get another big job. Because he'll make every excuse in the book and somebody will believe it.
I just don't think people like him.
Nobody does. Well, I don't – I mean –
would you hire him if you're an athletic director? I wouldn't.
Would I? Know, no. But will people? Yes.
I don't – man.
So, all right, let's just go on the premise. Kelly to Penn State.
Okay.
All right. Lane – or Lane to LSU. I think LSU might be the one or Florida. But LSU is a better job. Mm-hmm. So, I think Lane to LSU. Jimmy Frank to Florida.
Yep.
That then starts, I think, Clark stays put. And then, you know, maybe Matt Rhule. We'll see what the domino effects are. I think Michigan is still one to watch. That job could open up.
Okay. So who's taking Ole Miss and Arkansas?
I think Jimbo goes back to Florida State. Ole Miss and Arkansas are interesting because
you can win at Arkansas.
You can win at Arkansas. I think Hugh has used up all his – I think Hugh could get a job, but not in the SEC. If you're Ole Miss or Arkansas, you call Dan Mullen and you say you want to come back to the SEC. I think he tells you no. I think he's happy. But I think you at least make that phone call. Kentucky's another one. Then the Tulane coach.
Summerall.
He probably gets Kentucky. But he could get Ole Miss or Arkansas if Kentucky doesn't open up.
What about the Gus Bus?
If you're Auburn, do you go back there?
See, at some point, you got to hire the new crop.
Yeah.
You got to. Yeah. Summerall's the new crop of coaches that's coming in. You got to do that. I mean, there are some really good coaches in the Group of Five level. You got to give them a shot. A lot of money, a lot of pressure. But in some
cases, I would
have
said Jamie Chadwell, but they've had a bad year.
They've had a bad year. Yeah, Liberty's not doing well. So, I mean, it's the thing. What's going to happen now? But the domino's going to happen, and guys will take off. We won't know until mid-December. After the championship game, SEC, that weekend, December 4th or 5th, then all the dominoes, because the portal opens back up. All the things go on, and then we'll know.
Kevin in Nashville. Franklin to UCLA, Rhule to Penn State, Kelly to Nebraska, book it.
All right, George.
That's not crazy.
Who's UCLA?
Franklin.
He likes the sunshine.
Yeah. That's not a crazy take.
Then who gets Florida job?
Lane?
Maybe. But if I'm Sumrall at Tulane, I'm not going to Kentucky for all these other jobs.
No. I mean, LSU, like.
As I tell you, don't go play football at a basketball school.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And, I mean, look, South Carolina. I mean, there's all these jobs that could open up.
That's why this
is so fascinating.
It is. And we're not advocating for people to lose their job, but Brian Kelly's walking away after taxes about $30 million.
Yeah. Would Arkansas – would Will Muschamp work at Arkansas?
I think he wants to watch his kid play football.
Okay.
I think his kid's done at Vandy, then maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Has there ever been a guy coach three head coaches in the SEC – coach three teams in the SEC? Spurrier, Muschamp, Saban, three head coach. Bear Bryant, Alabama, Kentucky.
Hugh Freeze. Hugh's coach Ole Miss and Auburn.
Okay. That's two.
That's a great question. Orgeron coach two, LSU and Ole Miss.
Yep. God, I keep forgetting.
Houston Nutt, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
That's right. Has there ever been – there's got to be one that's done three. Doug Dickey did Tennessee, Florida.
Let me think on it during the break.
Think about it, buddy.
We'll think about it. Clay, we'll get to you next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
I have never made a decision based off of money, nor will I.
And love so that.
For a lot of people, they're just like, well, money and it does this and does that. I've seen too many examples in life where money does not buy happiness. So I am never going to make a decision off of money, nor do I care about it. And
it's good to have you.
That was Lane Kiffin on the Pat McAfee Show. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. So some people are saying Bear Bryant. That doesn't technically count because Texas A&M was not in the SEC.
I agreed. And I'm not one of these proactive guys, fit them back in there. No, it doesn't happen that doesn't way.
Retroactive, is that?
Retroactive. Yeah, what did I say?
Proactive.
Isn't that
– You are proactive. You stay ahead of things.
Is that probiotic, same thing?
I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I believe, based on looking at things, that – if Lane were to take LSU or Florida, he'd be the first to coach at three, be the head coach at three different SEC schools. There have been assistants.
Yep.
But
they're all around.
The head coach. Because, like, he's got Tennessee and obviously Ole Miss.
Yep. Oh, you brought up a good one. Like, DiNardo. Jerry DiNardo went from Vanderbilt to LSU, ended up being a coach at Indiana. So he was another head coach. But we're talking only SEC.
Yeah. Some other ones.
I mean, Doug Dickey, Tennessee to Florida. I can go back years because I'm an old man. But that's
– he was the AD at Alabama, right?
He was not.
There were. Are you sure?
Yeah, that was another.
Who am I thinking of?
He just passed away, too. Doug Dickey became the AD at Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Who am I thinking of?
Is it Mal Moore that passed away? Was the AD that hired Saban? See, folks, when you don't know what you're talking about, if you get a little high voice there and you pause, it sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Was Doug Dickey the AD at Tennessee?
He was, wasn't he?
Until 2002. And then what's his name took over?
Jimmy Hart? Not Jimmy Hart.
No, he just died.
Mike Hamilton.
Yeah.
Yes. They all get just – yeah. Then they had a guy from FSU that was up there that hired
– Who am I thinking? It's the guy – he hired Saban at Alabama.
Was it? It wasn't Doug Dickey. It was somebody else. He passed – let me look this up here. You guys talk amongst yourselves here, okay? Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to get this. Bill Battle.
Bill Battle. That's there we go. He was a Tennessee coach. Yes.
That's who I'm thinking of. Okay.
Bill Battle.
Thank you.
Won't you come home, Bill Battle? Won't you come home?
Again, 9055 says Bear Bryant coached at Bama, Kentucky in one game at Vanderbilt when Red Sanders was sick.
Well, I mean.
Does that count?
You look at Tennessee football coaches like Brady Hoke. He's considered a head coach because he filled in. Yeah. He was a head coach.
I'm talking about the full-time head coach and Bear Bryant. Yes, he coached at Texas A&M, but they were not an SEC school.
Right.
So I do not count that.
Nope. And I don't know if there's anybody else. A lot of done two schools.
Yep. We're saying three SEC schools.
Yes.
That's what we're saying. Clay, what's up?
Boys, how are we doing today?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Clark Lee and the boys got it going on West End, don't they, boys?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been awesome.
I mean, I didn't know this till maybe later Saturday night when a friend of mine told me. You guys think about this. Missouri runs 78 plays. Vanderbilt runs 45.
Good Lord.
Time of possession was like 36 to 24.
Okay.
You know, to me, it's not about the stats. It's not about, definitely not about Diego's stats. What this is about, boys, this is a true team that plays complimentary football. When the offense can't get it going, the defense steps up. I mean, think about all the plays that Vanderbilt made defensively to keep them in that game.
A lot the of
goal
them.
Lines, the goal line stand. Hurd ripping the ball away from a guy that gives us, I think, the winning touchdown. I believe that's right. And then, I don't know. I was telling people I would go to my grave thinking that didn't matter because the clock ran out and the guy was short of the goal line. But I thought I saw the ball on the ground. But maybe the guy did catch the ball.
I thought that too, Clay. I really did. I thought he didn't catch it.
Clay, at the end of the day, you won. The only stat that matters is the scoreboard.
That's right. That's kind of what I'm saying. I don't care about stats. I care about W's.
Well, that's the thing now. Is like all this pop, like this one girl wrote about Pavia and what a jerk he is and his stats aren't any good. Doesn't matter. He's elevated this program because of who he is and what he does to the guys around him have made this team good. They're 7-1 and ranked ninth, not as a joke. They earned that 7-1.
By the way, the highest ranking Vanderbilt has ever had, I believe, is in 1941. They were number 7.
That's right.
So they're ranked as high as they've been since 20 years before I was born.
Are you going to Austin this Saturday?
No, I am not, but the preacher is.
Okay.
Nice.
Going by himself, I believe.
He should take his buddy with him.
But, Big Joe, I've got to tell you, Will did not do the sign, and I was disappointed.
Well, maybe next time when game day comes back, they'll do it again.
You know, but seriously, I bet, and I've thought about this. Now, I showed up at 4:45, so I was there for over 6 hours.
What, you got on campus?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll let him know.
Vanderbilt Security chases an in over there.
Well,
Clay, we got to run.
right. Talk to you tomorrow.
We'll see you, buddy. We're late. John McClain next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.